Hello and welcome to the Round Robin Podcast. I am your host, Rob Fersland, joined today by Ben Ward.
Hello.
Luke Chu.
Guten Tag.
Maddie Cunningham.
Hello.
And Bradley Wye.
I just realised someone found a cable for this recorder. I was like, where the fuck's the battery? Oh, there's a cable in it.
Yeah, it was hidden in another cable.
Where the headphones were set to on the side.
Yeah.
The cable was also on the side.
I was going to say, I was like, I swear that we had it somewhere.
Or this has just been one terrible prank on you.
Yeah.
Welcome back, bitch.
You fucking got me.
2 weeks back and we've already got him. So, how's everybody doing?
All right.
Good. Yeah, good, thanks.
I mean, Ben's seething.
Yeah, Ben had his chair, I say in air quotes. He doesn't have any ownership on it, really. He just pretends it's his.
Oh, no, I don't mind that it's a different chair. It's just that it's a broken chair now.
You prefaced it with, somebody stole my chair.
Well, I mean, that's not like... It's the chair at the desk I normally sit at. I don't really care. Like I've tried to change like 3 times. I just don't want a broken chair, man.
Aww.
Well, today we are going to be talking about character creation. It's something I've wanted to do for a little while now.
Oh, good. I'm about to do some tomorrow, so yeah. That'll really help me out.
I want to get into people's heads about how they think when they make their own characters. And I wanted to ask a couple of questions to judge what kind of people you really are. Because when you start up a video game or play a role-playing game for the very first time, do you base your character on yourself? Yes or no?
The very first time, absolutely.
The ideal version of me, yes.
I was about to say.
Is that right with the toy? But then that's the issue with it, is it's not, you think it's the ideal version of you, but then where you fall into the trap is that you make yourself good at a few different things, so you end up just being good at nothing, and then you spend your first, session or gift games being like, why can't I do this? And it's like, well, you've only got 1 point in this and 1 point in that because you decided to put it a point in everything.
Yeah, like the ultimate generalist.
Yeah.
I was going to say something mean because I was going to say I used to do that as a kid because I would be, oh, it's me. But now I feel it's like really lame to do.
Yeah. Well, when did you first... I mean, I haven't done it.
Can you imagine looking at an NPC coming up to you and going, oh, you're our saviour, Bradley? And you're like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but my first one was at uni with you. Did you used to play it back in the day, or was yours your first game with Ben
back
as well?
Back in the day.
I think he's talking more like
video games.
Oh, video games.
Video, yeah. I mean,
okay.
It was preferenced with everything. In the first kind of game, I was thinking, oh, it could be you, but in that universe, which is, I guess, it's different if you're role playing it because it's easier for you to role play.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to role play, you could just be yourself because you've been yourself for all those numbers of years.
Yeah.
So it's easier.
But the thing is, I'm shit at everything. It turns out. So
yeah.
it actually isn't helpful.
It's funny you should say that. We played a role playing game that was based on a real world scenario. So we decided, oh, well, we'll just make ourselves as actual people as if they were in it. And we had to cut back on that idea because we realized that none of us were good enough for anything to justify using all of our points.
I'm just going to have a fat stack of points for one day. Yeah. Suddenly when I excel in something.
Yeah, excel in masturbation. That point had to go somewhere. So, Luke, do you remember the first role-playing character you ever made?
Fuck no.
If we go for, because you've been relatively new to role playing games like pen and paper, so do you remember that at least?
I remember I've played one or two games in multiple different I've played like a little bit of D&D, a little bit of Pathfinder, a little bit of like what's that one where everyone dies all the time?
Dark Heresy.
Yeah, I've played with Dark Heresy, and I've had varying levels of success of each one. But yeah, I can't remember most of my first ever one. It must have probably have been with, I think it was a one-off session.
Yeah.
In the first or second year of uni with either Ben and our old housemate and a guy we know named Tom.
I think it might, no.
And maybe? It devolved into the two most experienced players talking about how the GM couldn't kill him because of some certain element, and then it was just those two kind of just arguing for a good 2 hours.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And it made me feel
now.
Like...
I think I remember this game. God.
Is this really what I'm missing?
I think I've buried this so deep in my mind that I'm not getting it.
It's the people I'm remembering then, and it presumably is Matt and Tom.
Yeah.
I remember the dragon session
in
the very first game that me, you, and Maddie ever shared. And that was a D&D game where you were Brywin the dwarf. Maddie was a flicking between male and female rogue.
He was male.
But you couldn't decide if you were male or female, straight or gay. You
don't have to label Mago, all right?
Mago! That was his name. I was trying to remember, and I couldn't for the life of me.
Abe Scratchwood,
halfling cavalier on a dog.
Scruffles.
Scruffles the dog. He was the best.
He was the best. He saved our lives.
So I'm guessing you know every single character you ever made then, Rob.
Rob has a list.
Yes. He's going to read them all out.
And this is this, and the backstory is this, and the in-joke is this.
I was going to say, I think I used to know every character, but when it wasn't that extensive, and then because of Round Robin, I've just got characters that I'm like, oh, fuck, if I don't have to ever play that character again, that'd be great.
I don't know, I feel like I could almost name all the characters I've played, but not the characters I've done for one-offs. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't tell you the name of, you know... Cameron's game. Whilst I enjoyed it, I don't think I could remember even 50. My character.
Yeah, 50. Yeah,
I couldn't. Yeah, you were
there for like two sessions.
That was part of the issue.
Three sessions,
I think.
Yeah, but then there was the gap.
And it's been 9 months since I haven't played anything. Like,
just like the podcast, Bradley. Yeah.
Like, I will say, I haven't. I don't remember anyone's character name from my Call of Cthulhu run in the Round Robin.
In fairness, neither can I. But that was because we were generic American soldiers.
Yeah, exactly.
Hoorah.
Hurrah. What about you, Maddie? Who was your first ever character?
My first character.
Was it Mago, or were you playing before
then? No, I think when I was a kid, I always used to play like this, like, wizard, I think. I think she was like Cylindrith or something like that. And she had a cat familiar, and my mum would always make sure my brother didn't let my cat familiar die because I'd get upset.
So, do you think you typecast yourself?
Yes.
Like, as soon as you get, like, a character or a trait you like, do you think you typecast yourself?
It's easy to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if you find something that you like. You think, I'll stick with this. This is fun. I could never want to try anything else. But we know a lot of people who do that. It's a pretty common.
I've been trying to give myself some more challenging characters recently.
Yeah.
Because I've just been playing too many, like, chaotic or good characters.
I've learned that I am incapable of playing an evil character or a nasty character. I can't commit to it because I start feeling too bad quickly.
I take the opposite. Mainly because just like it's so easy to be bad because there's quicker options to get shit done.
Yeah, that's true.
To give that a go next. I think all the characters I've played have pretty much been, like, neutral or on the side of good. I think the next thing I'd like to do is maybe an evil-sided character.
I'm currently playing an evil character in Ben's campaign, but she's not really doing anything evil because like people are working with her.
Yeah, exactly. No. It's not really conducive if like, oh, this party of mostly good people and then this person who's slaying orphans because why not?
Yeah, they're cooperating. Fuck. Okay, step this up a notch.
Technically, in my next campaign, you guys are all going to be technically bad guys. Because it will be like robbers. You're going to be heists.
Yes. I was about to say, crime generally is bad. So we are bad guys. You're doing crime
crime shit.
But it depends. We could be like chaotic good criminals who are like
I think you're going to be more like, it's going to be more sort of adventure-y heisting. So more like Indiana Jones. Like you might have to break
into
you know, a building to get like an artifact from some like billionaire's guy, but it's fine because he's got all these weird artifacts and he'll never notice sort of situation.
He will miss it.
Nah, he'll be fine.
You clear out his entire fucking house. He won't notice anything.
It just depends if you kill people as you do it.
I'd say Robin Hood is chaotic good over than being an evil character because he's broken the law. So
yeah.
Well, that Robin Hood is pretty much the archetypical chaotic good character. He steals, but he does it for good reasons rather than selfish ones.
So, speaking of when you're asking about generalization of characters, just something I want to mention on that before we completely... Well, we did already.
But coming back to that.
I love when Ben does a conversational U-turn.
Oh, no, it's just one thing I wanted to say, because it's something you helped me realize, which was that I was overgeneralizing my characters early on.
It feels like an episode of like Jeremy Kyle.
Yeah. all of my RPG characters, like in pen and paper, and like to a degree actually in video games as well, I tended to do the generalization thing on pretty much all of them. So they were jack of all trades, master of none.
Well, that's what I was saying at the beginning that I used to do.
Yeah, I did that heavily, and Rob pointed it out to me.
Mm.
And ever since then, I've tried more not to do that. Like, yeah. It took me someone saying, the reason your character sucks is because you keep putting points in too many fun things.
The first time I worked out not to do that was Maddie's one-off when I was like a kick-ass bard because I had points in all the right
things you
skills.
Needed and just that, right?
Yeah, like I didn't try and be like, well, what if I want to be in a combat? Like now I will actively probably take a minus in certain things because I'm just like, well, fuck it, I'm not going to really need that and I wouldn't be good at it. So I might as well put maximum points in the things I want to be good at rather than, you know, trying to be average at everything. And like, because I was the fact that I'd put all the points in being a good bard, I was fucking awesome in that. Yeah. That was the first time I was like, oh shit, this is how it works.
Yeah.
You can be good.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it literally does just take that kind of light bulb moment to realize it.
Like in your campaign so far, like every time I've been in an encounter, I've just decked them immediately.
Yeah, because that's what you're built to do. You do it right.
As long as I'm not made of wood, we're good.
The issue then comes is when you design a brawler character or a character in it that's really fucking good at one specific thing, and the DM has no way to counter that. So in Round Robin, I'd built a fighty character, and we had a DM that had maybe one or two very small encounters through the entire campaign.
Yeah.
And it just, I ended them immediately because it was only ever two people we were fighting and they just were over. And my character wasn't good at
doing the rest of stuff.
I'm guessing all the other things.
That's the benefit of having that session at the start of a campaign where everyone gets together and discuss their characters. Because then I guess the person can step in and go, I see you playing this fighter. There's not going to be much fighting in this. Would you like to pivot to something on a little bit better?
They call it session zero. And it's something that I only recently picked up on as a thing. And it is genuinely one of the best things you can ever do if you're running a game. Because it just allows you to prepare and give the players the idea of what you're going to be doing going forward. Because I've had so many campaigns where a player hasn't realized what the story is going to be like or how I'm going to try and run it. And they make something that is completely unsuitable for it. And they just sat there bored because the character they made just doesn't fit into the story.
Yeah. I think that'll be the handy thing about tomorrow because I'm trying out, whilst I'm trying technically a new system in Pathfinder 2nd Ed, I'm also trying out a new system to add on to it, which is the heisting element. So it'll be very interesting to see whether it actually works and what I might have to do to like what characters are better at it, and also like what I might have to do to like change it up a little bit just to make it work if we find things are a bit too easy.
Are you going to randomize the characters?
I'm going to create four random characters and then you guys get to decide.
So
I'm just
going to
have like the face character, the tough guy, and then the other two. Ninja, maybe. Acrobatics. There's always an acrobatic guy, isn't there?
The cat burglar.
Yeah, there's always that guy.
It's going to be the double crosser, I see you.
Whoa. I think that's something I might add into like the main campaign, because tomorrow will just be a one-off. Let's see how this goes.
I think we were actually talking characters for your main campaign the other day, and I think I was saying I might go for the face in this one.
Because
that's always gone so well.
I'm like,
genuinely, the issue of you being a party face has never been how you play it. It's the fact that you're never fucking there when we need you.
I mean, that hasn't been an issue in a very long time.
No, it hasn't been, but I remember we were running Shadowrun where you were the party's face, and I literally had to describe it as your character kept on jumping out of moving vehicles because you weren't there for that session when you were driving to speak to somebody important.
Wow.
So this party's like, well, I guess we better make do, and then everything went to shit, which arguably made it more fun. But yes.
The thing I think that works quite well about the system I'm going to run is it doesn't rely on one specific person being the face.
Yeah.
It's whoever's good at that kind of heist. So there's like con artist, there's generic heist, there's like the hit job.
Exactly.
And like each different people.
Thing.
So a face person might be good at one specific heist, but then another one, which is going to be more fighty, the strong person might actually be the best person to bring in on that because they're going to be like intimidating and might scare some people off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, hit the ground running. Fight. Cool. But yeah. I got a question. I don't know if you're coming up with this. It's like, what would you guys think a good, for someone starting out, what's a good system for someone who like hasn't done this before? What would you recommend to them? Because we started with Pathfinder 1st Ed.
I think we may have actually started with D&D 3.5, but maybe for only like a session.
Okay.
And then I think we might have moved to Pathfinder.
No. Our game, the one that Matt Corley ran, that was 3.5.
Oh, yeah, no, I meant for more for like whatever I ran.
Because the first
guys,
game I ever did like, was in him. With sorry, no, actually, in him. No, the first, sorry,
very intense role play,
the first proper game I ever did was the one you ran, which was All of Us. Not you. I didn't know you at the time.
Which game was this?
This the was one. This is where I. This is my first ever character, Heisenberg. Rob didn't ask. So fuck you.
Oh yes.
I kind of expected you to jump in with yours.
We didn't ask. You asked everyone else.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't. I asked Luke and then the others.
You asked.
You asked Maddie.
Oh, okay.
You just I will us. Play it. I'll play it right here.
It's much more important.
Yeah, and but then before that, the thing that got me into it in the first place, I remember it was you, Maddie, and then Matt. You were all like, why didn't you like it? Why don't you give it a go? And I remember the words, very specifically words, I'm worried I'll like it too much. And flash forward to now, where I'm buying models to have as my character for Saturday's game.
No, the next step, Bradley, is, still can, Luke. Is you need to paint them.
Yep.
I refuse to paint them.
You say that, it's going to happen. It's a slippery slope.
I have too much other things I spend my money on.
But you could just borrow some of my paints to paint the first few.
Or you could just get Ben to paint them for you.
I mean, that would also...
I've got too many models to paint.
You've already painted most of them.
No, I have so many more models to paint.
Paint mine first.
That's what an amateur would say. You'd get through and be like, I need more models to paint.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, bam, Bradley comes in. The supply and the demand.
To go back to your question, though, Bradley.
Hello.
I think maybe, actually, the first edition of Pathfinder is a pretty decent one to start people on, just because it's such a well-supported system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get access to all of the rules and everything for free online.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, because it's one of the most commonly played games, it also has a lot of support from just generally its fan base.
Mm.
Like, you can Google a question about it, and chances are going to find the answer you want on that first page without really any much searching.
Yeah. And it's also, like, a world that people can get into quite easily. Like, magic, wizards, dragons... Cool, I get that.
A very generic setting in that sense. That's very easy to run.
Doing learning about second ed, it's been really... This YouTube channel, I can't remember what their names are, but it's these two guys, and they do great series where they break down, like, great things, and then they also build fan characters. Like, they built Geralt in Pathfinder second ed, and they were like, you can use this. And, like, they do a load of stuff like that. They need to build Geralt.
Everyone needs to build Geralt. There is also
Geralt.
A Witcher RPG.
Yes, there is.
Oh, yes. But then they were saying, like, if you were in another system and you wanted to use this, like, try and do the same thing, how would you do that? But they were some really good guys for that. So, you know, it's just interesting in terms of, like, what would I go for? And I guess that's why I mistakenly chose Pathfinder second ed. Because you can't buy the first.
You can, but it's a lot more expensive.
It's a lot more expensive. So to get into now, I think that's the only issue. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I would say to most people is, like, is a lot handier having a physical book. As much as you can get it online for free. For me personally, so much handy having that physical thing in front of you.
It's handy having
both.
And
that's why I ended up having... Like, yeah, both. But if someone said you could only have one, it would be the physical
100%.
Version. And like that to me is why I ended up going for second ed, because it was just hard to get hands on the first one.
Mm-hmm. Saying definitely, like, I would say though, like, I've not played this, but everything I've heard about it, the indie 5th ed is very supposed to be very good for new players. I haven't played it, so I can't really give
it's
my
opinion. Wrong.
Everyone shits on it. Said it's a good system. I prefer
really
Pathfinder.
It really isn't. It does nothing good. It's such a wishy-washy system.
Is it like how a single-player Scythe's bad as well?
Huh?
What?
Oh no! I can
look
feel
out!
Red,
it's
but
the
it's
red comment section again.
No, we had an entire term of playing 5th Ed, and I just couldn't agree with it.
I've not tried it, so I really can't, like, weigh in properly on it, but everything I've heard about it is, in terms of its accessibility to new players, I've heard very good things.
And also, the amount of lifetime support it's gotten is really, really good. It's just a shame they couldn't have done that with a better system.
So, are you seeing it from a perspective of an advanced player, though? Because if you're saying it's, like, wishy-washy and, like, eh, isn't that the whole point? Because it'll be easy to, like, for people to just go in and go, like, okay, so what does this mean? Oh, my strength is this,
yeah,
so
like
when I roll, I get
a plus. It is streamlined, and for a lot of people, that's a good thing.
Yes, but I found it very unforgiving because of the way they did advantages and disadvantages. Like, not going too far into the nuts and bolts, but rather than having pluses and minuses on your attack rolls, it would effectively, if you were good at something, you would roll it twice, or if you're bad at it, you'd roll it twice. You'd pick the highest of the two or the lowest of the two. But enemies also got that. Which meant that at low levels, enemies could very easily crit you, and because their damage was way above what your health was, kill you.
We've had
people die in the first few sessions when they really shouldn't have done.
But then you can just say, you can just be the DM and be like, step in and go like, oh, you know, it misses. Because that's the whole point of the board in front of you, is so no one can see what you roll, so you can basically go, if it fucking demolishes them, you can be like... Oh, they miss. Isn't that lucky?
Yeah.
But a decent system shouldn't need the GM to stand in for it when it makes a fuck up like that.
I wouldn't say that's the system. And I, as someone who ran 5th Ed recently with my friends back home, the only thing I can think of from 5th Ed that I really didn't like was how strong the enemies seemed to be.
Well, yeah.
Like, they seemed ridiculously hard to hit. And then when you did hit them, seemed to have a lot of health.
Hmm.
But I didn't mind the advantage and disadvantage dice that much. And it seemed to be always quite fun to be able to roll twice and then be like, oh, shit, I got a 20. And, like, I get to, you know, you get to roll twice and then, you know, you get lucky if you roll twice and your disadvantage is still a 15. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I think it's kind of fun, and I think it takes some of the pressure off the DM for knowing all of the different circumstances. Like,
no, that's,
you know,
true.
You
that's
sometimes
very true.
Aren't going to yeah. know, like, so if you haven't got the DM screen, sometimes you might not know to give a certain plus for certain things. So, you know, just saying you're at a disadvantage or you're at an advantage, it's pretty simple. It's easy to do. Kids are going to get that if they're trying to play it. I just, different play sessions, whereas I think if you are more experienced and you do know the very specific circumstances, I think, you know, that's maybe why you wouldn't like that system.
Yeah. It's certainly not for me, but it's popular enough and it's got enough support that clearly other people do like it.
Mm.
I'm not the person to talk to about it because I've had bad experiences with it and I don't like it. So.
I mean, as like you were saying, like, it genuinely is something I feel like it's for the, like, newer players. And I'm not trying it myself, so I can't really weigh in on, like, what I...
We should give it a go. I have it.
I'd be happy to give it a go.
I do have it. You got it for me, Rob.
Yeah, I do.
But, yeah, like, it's kind of... I like to consider it the gateway RPG.
It's a gateway drug.
I think D&D just generally is that, because, like, I'd never really imagined how many different role-playing systems there would be until I really started to get invested into it as a hobby.
I really want to do the one which is you only play it as a one-off session and you have a tower of Jenga in the center of the table.
Oh, yeah. Right,
and every way you would have to make a roll, you don't have to make rolls. You're just allowed to say it, and the DM decides whether that's an easier action and you get to do it, or if it's a hard action... You have to take a piece of the Jenga tower.
That's done.
Right. If you knock the Jenga, it's only meant to be like a one-off session. If the Jenga tower falls, whoever does it at some point in that session will die. So it's meant to be as like a horror setting. It's meant to be like the first person to knock it over, you're going to be the first person to die in the game. At any point, you can choose to knock it over. So whatever you decide to do will succeed beautifully, but you'll die in the process.
Oh my God.
That's cool.
So that it sounds like a fun kind of like one-off drinking game kind of thing. Yeah. That would be a laugh thing, laugh to do. But
you could pair it with drinking Jenga.
Exactly.
Oh boy, we
well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It sounds like a perfect combo.
Also, I'm going to quickly scoot back. So we were talking about they made Pathfinder Geralt.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody here ever made the shameless ripoff of a famous character?
My friend made Pathfinder Geralt. That was why I looked it up.
I was about to say, I had a friend who wanted to be Geralt.
So she was like, do you know how I do it? So I went on this, like, literally typed it in. Those guys came up and then ended up going through a load of their stuff. But yeah, they did a breakdown on how you do it at each of the levels and what you had to put into. So by the time you got to level 8, you'd have a pretty accurate season 1 Geralt.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I was like, just like, you know, you're not even going to be season 1 Geralt. You're going to be like a witcher who's maybe just come off like the drugs. Which is like, what drugs? And I was like, it explains it in the games. Don't worry, the TV show hasn't gotten to it yet. But you're like, you don't know any of the magic. You don't know any of that shit. You can just see animals really clearly. That's all I can do.
The ultimate
you can track
skill.
The fuck out of those animals. That's all. But you're not going to be good at fighting them.
And of course, this question is coming from Heisenberg. So.
Class act.
What about anybody else? Even if it's in a parody form, have you ever?
Oh yeah, and I guess I did Heisenberg, but then I didn't give him good in like he wasn't like an alchemist or anything like that. Like something I should have done.
He was a cleric, if I remember.
No, he was. Oh, he might have been
a cleric.
He was a fighty character, yes, could have been. I've got the character sheet somewhere.
Hidden away.
I found it the other day. I was like, oh my God, this brings back so many memories. Look at those points. Those are shit.
God, what was wrong with me?
I don't know. I've taken stuff like, for example, my character in Only Woe, Frank Nero, is named
Sorry,
for the
Sorry, Only Fro Wank Nero.
And Only Woe.
Only war?
The only, it's the thing we all called only war
Ben,
for some reason.
Ben. We're not in your group.
Don't you little group. I'm going to call it only war.
That's so cool.
It's the problem where it's been called that so much
that, is all
that
you
it's
can
actually
think it
become
has.
The name of the game.
But like, you have to actively say it that way.
Yeah, but I don't even think about it anymore. Like, that's the problem. It's been said so much, it's just... normal.
Like, it's not like when it, like, every time you boot up the game, it says only war. Like, every time.
I mean, yeah, the book is right in front
boot
of you.
Boot true. Up the book.
It's also like a game, when all the games and stuff, like it always goes like, there is such and such, only war, but, like yeah. that kind of shit.
But that's what the, I think
I
the
walked
GM
past the Games Workshop
it
and it says, only war everywhere.
I don't know. It's still what, like the GM would say before starting the game, or like saying, like in some way would say only woe a few times. So like it just ingrained that in my brain. By the way, only war.
Frank, now I understand.
Frank Nero is named for Franco Nero, who is the original actor for Django. But that's like as far as the influence really.
That's using a name
those levels.
Yeah. But I don't know if I've ever so intentionally specific. Based one off a character, but I'm sure I must have taken elements from different characters. 100%.
I don't know. I don't think I have. Can you think of any? I don't think
I did. I don't know.
I'm very original.
And he's like, I'm great. I've never once made a rip-off character.
Go me.
I mean, that's definitely a lie. Like,
does the Sims count?
So, here's one thing. So the reason I made Control is because of the film Dread.
What?
I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but in it, like Dread constantly is calling Control. And that kind of gave...
But he also doesn't do like a live from Radio Tower.
No, oh,
like,
that would make it a very, very different film.
That idea came in, like, that idea came in after.
Can you imagine everyone's dying and he's like, don't worry, it's all okay.
So I didn't originally envision him as a radio host hacker.
Okay.
I originally envisioned him like acting as if he was a secure, like, you know, like calling into the station or something like that.
Yeah.
So like he would act very professional and stuff like that. And somehow I got the idea in my head that I wanted to do like a radio, like a disc jockey DJ style character. So I was like, cool. And that's how it kind of became. Mm-hmm. But I took the name from Dread going Control like multiple times throughout the film. I just really liked the way Carl Urban did that. So I was like, sweet. Good job, Carl Urban.
You'll do that. Thanks, Carl Urban.
That movie sorely needed a body cam.
Oh, Luke,
yeah.
You have a character whose name is Freddo Cadbury.
Yes.
Did you just literally look at a chocolate
bar? It's because he only goes up in value over the years.
Yeah.
What actually prompted you to name him Freddo Cadbury?
So I didn't know what to call him, so Ben looked up a character name generator, and Freddo was on there.
So it became like, Freddo Cadbury.
Freddo Cadbury.
I mean, it's still one of my favourite names I've ever had for a character ever.
The worst character generator I've ever met in my life.
Met.
In my life.
What, the one that gave us Freddo?
And then it gave another, like, Cadbury chocolate. Like, oh. it was like, what?
Maybe it's owned by Cadbury.
It's a marketing
tool.
You
said that, but there are some absolute gems on character generators, and I've completely forgotten one. But Rob, you might know.
Ben. Lord Tumblebees.
You're forgetting Groot Trude.
Oh,
Groot
Trude. Oh, did yours come from the character gen?
Yeah. I'm amazed you stuck with Groot Trude. No. It's the dumbest name.
This is why Maddie doesn't have any like characters based on anyone, because
she just
auto-generates character.
Back to my drink.
Definitely still have to say Lord Tumblebee is the best name that I've ever seen generated. He was a fairy, so.
There was also Pedro A. Jimenez from the same game.
Pedro A. Jimenez, yes.
the most evil man.
So yeah, you can get some winners.
Yeah, you can.
You can. Absolute winners.
I mean, technically, part of Brywin's name was randomly generated. Darkmine is a part random generated. Brywin was a combination of Bronn and Tyrion.
Actually, are we ignoring
Game
the fact
of
that
the
Ben has a character based on Batman?
Oh, yeah.
No, no.
That was his first ever character.
He's the bear.
It's Batman.
Does Batman kill?
It does in some versions.
Ben's very first character that I ever played with was a dwarf.
Who also became
a vigilante.
No, he was just a rip-off of Batman.
You had fucking grappling hooks and he went and stalked through the night. Do you not remember this?
I only found out.
Fucking called
Ben
you
was,
out.
Like Ben was so cool in those days that he was doing it behind the rest of the party's back with the DM, like in secret, like privately messaging each other about it. I only found out about it because my character was out for a walk like one night when all of a sudden I found a dead guy in an alley. And then a dwarf with a very suspiciously familiar voice dropped in front of me and said, effectively, I am the knight. And I said, Brywin, is that you? And he said, no. And fired a grappling hook and disappeared.
Imagine messaging someone under the table, like, who's speaking to? Give me your phone. You find out it's that. And you're like, well, it could have been an affair, or it could have been this. I don't know what I'm more disappointed about.
I feel like that's something I only did for a few sessions. Like,
it very much was.
And also, like, yeah, because I was thinking, it was like, no.
I was going to say, how did you do any combat if you weren't allowed to know Ben who Ben was?
Oh, no, it's just he was killing people of his own accord at nighttime.
Oh, okay.
So he was also fighting in his normal day.
Yeah. It was a very weird couple of sessions.
I mean, to be fair, it was a very weird game in a lot of ways.
Yes, it actually was, yes.
Two wanted posters.
But now we're talking about your vigilante, I think we can go into the biggest faux pas that our characters have ever made. The biggest fuck up that you have ever had in character.
I already know what it is.
Go on.
You know what it is.
I can't wait to hear it, because I
it's
always like
a couple. You know what it is. Oh, you already know what it is.
I just want to hear you say it.
You said it better.
So, it was in Only War.
Yeah.
Well, like, even then.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'm trying to be a host. Get off my back.
Get off his dick.
I reject that comment. I was the...
Pen on the hand gestures.
They're absolutely necessary. So I was the squad leader for a platoon of soldiers, because we were relatively high level in the game. I positioned like around an orc runway as an orc bomber was trying to take off. We needed to shoot it because as soon as it got into the sky, we have no anti-air. So I'm firing all of our plasma cannons on maximum, which turns out, I don't know why I tried to horns there. Ah. Oh, no hand.
We should explain horns to people that don't know or people that do it in a different way. Like Ben introduced this thing that when you talk, you put your thumb on your forehead and fingers in the air like a horn. And it makes you feel like an idiot.
But it's you're how you know that somebody's character. Out of character.
Because yeah. Otherwise you kick open a door. But you
exactly.
Continue.
But so I positioned them around. They were firing like crazy at the orc bomber. And they were firing on maximum. So with plasma cannons, when you fire on maximum, there's an additional 10-foot radius around the plasma burst.
Mm-hmm.
But something I forgot to account for is that the bomber was moving. It was moving closer and closer to the troops. So... as the blast crept in, I hadn't paid it enough attention and not realized, and it killed, I think, at least a full squad and half of another.
Wow. Yeah. In Only War, you're going to get reprimanded for that.
There's a little more context, which I think Rob is about to give you.
No, the worst part about it is that our regiment is already, like, on its last legs. Our home planet got destroyed a long time ago, and we are literally the dregs. We are the last ones left. And Ben managed to kill a bunch of us all in one go.
Also, Ben, I loved your, like, news host bit there. And there's a little bit of more information that I think Rob's about to give.
Over to Rob now with the weather.
But I think your biggest faux pas, Bradley, might actually be linked to the same game.
Oh, is this part of the same?
My
original fuck up was just down to what I just said before, which was I remember the first time Ben called me out for like not going horns. Was I was like, oh, I kick open the door. And Ben was like, okay, cool. There are three guards there. Fuck. yeah. No, after that, was I spent the entire week. We were in a hostage situation, and you guys had said. Look, you know, the hostages aren't our concern. We're here for other things. And I was like, oh, so it doesn't really matter if they get out alive then. Oh, no, it doesn't really matter. So the first session, I threw a grenade into the six of them and killed every one of the hostages.
And your reasoning, was so that they didn't have anything to bargain
with. They had no barter.
I mean, if you're playing an evil character, that's completely ridiculous.
Strictly speaking, he wasn't evil.
But I hadn't said I wasn't evil.
I guess.
Pragmatic is the word.
I was like sent, but the thing is, my character was sent in to make sure your squad was like flying right or something like that, or straightening up. So I was like, well, I'm a dickhead, so...
I did always feel that was slightly unjustified, because the last season we'd had of Only War, there were very few fuck-ups at all, actually. It was only the first season we had a few fuck-ups.
I guess.
Season two, there weren't that many. And then season three...
I hear the fanning. My favourite part about it is that Bradley got us all in trouble. The guy who was supposed to be keeping us on the straight and narrow got us all on the shit list.
Yep. We all got branded, man.
Yeah, we did.
Alex still took
that
like a champ.
I think we still would have gotten branded regardless of the grenade.
No, we were doing all right. Aww. And then you killed six members of the local guard.
Kendall told me what his plan was. Yeah, I don't know if he ever told you this.
No.
But the idea was that we would become so popular that we'd actually get our own little comic strip propaganda piece, and other platoons would be jealous of us. And we would get extra XP because we'd saved the prisoners.
It's fine because we're never going to play that
kind
again.
Of propaganda going out, right?
Don't be these. Well, now we've got. Now, if anyone sees our mark, we immediately take buffs.
No, we take penalties because they hate us.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah,
they get buffs to hating us.
Yeah.
We're fucked. But like we will at some point, I believe, be actually having a final session of that game.
Oh, good.
I thought that was always the idea. Like the idea that at some point we could get a final session.
Well, we have our blaze of glory.
We drop on Corralis.
That's dying.
Can I not? I only just joined. I'm not even from your planet.
Yes. Me and Maddie just joined this. We don't want to die.
Tough
Can
luck,
we, like,
you
fuck
two.
Off?
You're coming along to die.
It's the comeuppance you deserve, I guess.
I'm just going to hope that I can't find my character sheet and create a new character and be like, oh no.
Oh, what a
What's
shame.
All this branding you guys have got?
What about you two? Could you think of any fuck ups you've ever done? Like major ones?
Probably.
I remember back in first year in that game with Matt Corley, there was this door, and there was a hole in the door, and there was like some bullshit about like living in the mountains written on the door or some shit. So Ben put his arm in the door, and his arm was fine. I, also living in the mountains, put my arm in, and it cut off my arm. Turns out Matt had forgotten that I was also from the mountains, so it shouldn't have cut off my arm.
Oh, isn't this the same session they had where, like, Matt and our paladin had an argument over whether or not it was evil to stitch his name into your arm?
Yes, it is evil to stitch his name into my arm.
I feel like he's angry at someone else's fuck up here. This isn't really your fuck up, this is someone fucked up on me and I want to blare and say it out.
I was about to say, it's not evil, it definitely is a dick move.
Which is pretty much evil. Like, if someone did something evil, you'd be like, that's a dick move.
I guess. Like,
I've never seen a good dick move.
That's a great dick move there.
That's a good dick move.
That's a
right
big
there.
Dick move.
That helped everyone out with that dick move.
I mean, Brady helped us out with his dick move. Got rid of the leeway with the hostages.
Yeah. We didn't have to worry about them.
It's a great dick move.
We didn't, but yeah. Nobody,
we didn't have to worry about them. They were dead.
It's the kind of thing where everyone disliked that would appear at the top of the page if it were a video game, right? It was definitely not the most popular idea you've ever had.
Well, I'll learn from my mistakes.
My very first game, I derailed the entire campaign. My very first session.
You sound like a problem player.
Okay.
The fact he seems proud of it is the worst.
I'm about to launch a heist with you as well, so I feel like I'm going to have to plan three or four different heists.
So.
Infinite.
Infinite heists.
It was my first ever game. I had been introduced to it by Alex, who I've pretty much every game I've been in, he's been in at least some format. And I was a tech priest. And the tech priests are very, very defensive about old technology. They worship it, effectively. We were helping some guy raid a bar, and I found in a cabinet a piece of, rare and old technology. And the guy was taking it. So I said, would my character want to him to not have that? And the table effectively unanimously said, yeah, like, you wouldn't want him to have it. So I shot him. I didn't quite kill him, but he was shocked. He tried to shoot me and missed. I shot him again, and a guy came into the room, one of his guards, and said, what the hell happened? Said, oh, accidental friendly fire. And I managed to bluff my way out of it. The session afterwards, he then said to me, the GM said, that guy was supposed to be your quest giver for the rest of this campaign, and he's dead now. It's like, oh no. Oh no. Oh no.
He could have just made another quest giver.
I mean,
that's what I would have done. I'd have just been like, this is his brother.
An identical twin.
Yeah.
But you could not tell them that person was meant to live then. If it was like, oh, this is NPC 2.
Slam.
This is NPC 3.
I would have just funneled it into another way, which you would have had the same, like, same role, but just with another person.
Well, in the end, it's because he wanted to punish me for it as well as carrying the story on.
Nothing,
so he ended
like
up changing the
DM.
Entire thing. Well, if anything, like, it was very, very helpful because I learned as a result to be careful with what you actually do and don't do in character. Because yes, what your character would do doesn't always work for the benefit of the story. Mm-hmm. And it's finding that fine line between the two. Like, for example, if you play a character who would steal from the party and you do it, it doesn't make you any less of a dickhead because you're inconveniencing the other players, right?
Yeah.
But it was actually a really, really good lesson to learn that early on. The same reason Penrose only learned to do horns properly because I got his character arrested for walking out onto a street as an active police officer, masturbating and shouting swag. Outside the police station where he'd just been given a very important assignment. And he got arrested. And he tried to gloss it over, say, oh no, I don't do that, I don't. I said, no. You just said that you did that, and I didn't see horns, so that's what's happening.
Yeah. Sounds like a bad sketch, doesn't it?
It does.
But when our character goes wrong.
But he's never lived that down either. He always remembers it, and he always says to me, like, that's the reason he knows to do horns. Mostly because he knew that I would definitely inconvenience him if he didn't.
I mean, there's a line, isn't it, between saying, okay, stop that, and being like, fine, you know what, fuck it. You've now done that. Let's see where it leads you.
Ultimate GM frustration. So, Bradley.
Hello.
Last Saturday in session, you tried to kick Ben into a crocodile tank.
You did. I don't know what came over me. I'm
now
sorry.
That was
your Jeremy Kyle.
I'd had a few to drink.
In one of my favorite moments from a role playing session ever.
So, I want to know, is your character. Are you down for our characters to, like, fight? Like,
Rob,
properly?
You should explain the setup before they go into the in-depth discussion.
Before the proper arguments.
I could take you.
His dad's bigger than his dad, Luke. Don't you get it?
I feel like that might be the way things are going.
We have two characters. We have Bradley playing a, not necessarily a pacifist, but a brawler who doesn't want to kill people. He wants to take them alive and has vowed to not take a life if he can help it. And on the flip side, we have Ben, who is a vigilante called the Bear.
Stealth character I've ever met.
He very much wants very to kill criminals.
So what you're saying is, in Session Zero, you should have advised that they didn't take these paths.
Oh, not at all, because it's worked perfectly. As you can tell by Bradley trying to murder Ben.
No, the crocodile was going to murder Ben. Broccoli?
I've never had my name so fucked up.
All right, Brodley.
Fuck it, I'm committed.
So, oh God. The whole point of the campaign up to this point is that the party has been chasing down a crime lord who has, in some way or another, inconvenienced the party in different ways. It gets to the point where they find the guy, and Ben wants his revenge, so he's trying his best to kill him. Luke is also determined to kill him because, despite being a relatively normal guy, he gets taken up by the heat of the moment and thinks, no, fuck it, this guy needs to die. Maddie was busy trying to kill a crocodile.
And the crocodile was busy trying to kill whoever it could.
Yeah, mostly the guy, because you held his head down towards the water to lure the crocodile away.
At the moment, it just seemed like, I need to get the crocodile away from killing my, like...
Ally?
Allies, I was about to say friends. We've only known each other for like a few hours at this point. Yeah. I was like, well, like, just, you know, I'd rather they don't die. Yes. So I'll use this guy to help me out.
But it got to the point where Bradley had superimposed himself between the guy they were trying to capture, or he was trying to capture, I should say, and Ben. Ben, however, decided to sprint all the way around the outside just to be able to stab the guy. He was that determined.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have just tried to leap over, but I kind of felt like I'm not going to risk that.
I mean, that's dangerous. So Bradley decides to try and effectively move the guy out of the way.
Yeah.
But in doing so, he leaves him open to an attack from Ben, from Luke, and from the crocodile.
Fucking cat attacks opportunity, man. That's the worst.
Luke stabs the guy and kills him. You got the kill there.
I'm very happy with that.
Ben stabs him again, just to be doubly sure. And then the crocodile, deciding that 3's the magic number, tears his lower half off, leaving Bradley holding the deceased upper body of this guy he was desperately trying to take alive.
I feel like we should have lost those keys. Like, those keys would have definitely been in the pockets of the bottom half.
If you didn't want them, let's retcon
it. I'm going to have to decide how my character's going to want to interact with you now, Bradley.
You haven't been trying to kill people.
No. But you just tried to kill Ben.
Oh, wow. Well.
He's not even trying to kill criminals.
Yeah.
So far.
Please don't say that. That makes me very worried about the future of this
character. You would have tried to kill all those kids.
What?
Ben was the person who talked the orphans down the very first time.
He talked the orphans down.
Just did.
I mean, I lied to him more. I said that the orphans' parents were outside, so we should stop fighting us and go see.
I told the orphans I was there to help them, but I can only help them if they drop their weapons.
I saw it like the kicking you was more of like a kind of, at one point, the reason why I decided never to try and take a life was meant to be like, who the person who I would become. And it was more of like a kind of, well, I would feel like my character's been angered to the point where I am lashing out without thinking.
So you're going
to
kill
that
Ben.
That was it. So I wouldn't actively be like, I am now trying to kill you.
Yeah.
It was just,
in the heat of
you
the moment.
Got me to that point again, where I was in that mindset of, like, this has pissed me off.
Nice. No, like, so the one thing I wanted to ask you after the session was, are you okay if our characters really fight? Like, as in, like, to the point where we might kill one another?
I don't want me to kill you.
Bear in mind, I'm not... I'm not saying that we try to, like, instigate a fight between one another, but if it gets to that heated moment...
I won't hesitate, bitch. Sounds like you're trying to start a fight with me, then.
I was about to say, this is...
Sounds like something very different to me.
This has turned from a discussion to smack talk of a very different kind.
No, I'm just making sure...
Do you really think you could fucking do this? Have you seen me?
Basically, what I'm asking is, do you want it to go as far as that our characters fight, or do you think that we should try and hold back from that?
As much as I like the idea of, like, one of us snaps and tries to kill the other one, I would like... I'd almost like it more if my character became killy.
So, here's the other thing. Here's the kicker. I love this. Which is that my overall character arc is to not kill.
Yeah.
And his is to kill.
Right.
We're going to swap.
Yeah, they're going to take each other's places.
What I see is a moment happening where you go too far and he's the one who says no, and then that kind of happens. You've seen that, though, in TV shows countless times, though, so you're going to see it.
It might not happen.
The way I see it, though, is that there's the chance that we'll have, like, three sessions where, like, we're both on the same wavelength or something like that. Where,
and
like,
then you start diverging.
Killing people's bad or killing people's good, like, and then it goes the other way. And then suddenly it goes from Bradley... like grappling someone, trying to like protect them, to like, no, I will protect them from Bradley.
Well, Bradley's trying to snap his neck and you're trying to stab him to save him.
Cool. So me and Maddie, you're a foot with the law, I'm against the law, so then we just sort of swip again.
No, what we all need to do is we all need to find a door of change alignment.
Oh no.
Well, the ultimate character progression, just going for a complete switch.
Yeah, that's it. Just go from one
end
of the axis to the other.
Can I go from neutral to neutral?
Yeah. Yes, that's it.
It's called the Walking Dead school of writing.
Whoa.
But I've always liked having a character that... I've always liked the idea of having a character that has a major flaw with them. So the fact I won't kill at the moment, I always saw as the ability to test the character in that way when you put them with characters that are trying to kill.
Yeah.
What happens to that character?
I mean, that's something, for example, with a lot of characters, it's always good to have something that's not so good about them because there is that tendency to build the Superman.
I love Dan Harmon, I think, is a great one where he's in an encounter and he runs away.
Oh, I was watching this. I think I watched this recently. It was that he uses his character in that to build up it. Like, he uses his character's flaws to build character and to have him give... Because it's all good having being able to overcome anything, but having stuff to overcome in the first place is the kind of
having
key
a flaw and having them grow through the session is something I'm interested in. So to me, the kicking of you is more of a kind of
this is the first crack.
Yeah.
The reason I want to ask is if when you crack again, you decide to try and fight me,
Ben really wants to fight Bradley.
I know. I don't want to fight you.
I don't really want to fight Bradley.
He doesn't want to half-ass it. He's saying if Bradley wants to come at him, he wants to come at him back.
Yeah, that's it. So if you want to go, then we're going to fucking go.
I'm asking, purely from a player perspective, to say, I don't want to end up killing a character if
he can just take you.
I can definitely take him.
Oh, no, he definitely can. He can kill me, but it doesn't mean I won't try. But that's why I thought it'd be it's the sort of thing you just discussed, to be is that something we want? If not, then we can work around it.
What we could do is our inevitable fight could be the moment where I pull back from the brink, and just as I'm about to kill everyone, I'm what have I become?
Or or it's the moment where we swap.
Just killing you.
Oh,
your
Jesus
pacifist
Christ.
Is being
no,
killed.
I've got you down, somehow I sneak attacked you or whatever, and then I'm no, I can't do this, and then you just fucking go ahead with a punch or something.
Does anybody else actually have any kind of more? Have they had any experience with player versus player conflict before this?
No,
this is the first time I've seen it be a major thing in the game.
My first session, but it wasn't player versus player, it was player versus fucking DM, and it was the most tedious bullshit I've ever listened to in my life.
Oh, yeah, that was horrid.
Wait, what was this?
This was Matt Colley's game with the dragon. The one that was the one where two players outwitted the DM and he was furious.
Oh, no.
Which game was this?
No.
This is the one you were trying to repress at the beginning of the game, wasn't it?
It wasn't the DM. It was that, so one of our friends had a tendency to always play the character.
Oh, this one.
To play characters that would, be a bit broken, if I remember. Was that it? Like, yeah, so two of our other mates got sick of it in the one-offs and all this stuff. So they're like, right, we're going to build a character specifically. Because, oh no, he used to kill the party. That was it. He'd always betray everyone at the end. So two people were like, nah, fuck that. We are going to betray him this time.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So they basically enlisted everyone else in the group. Because it was like, oh, fuck yeah, we're going to kill Matt. Because he always does it. He never wins. They killed him. And he spent, I think, the next 2 hours
looking for a reason that he couldn't have died.
Yeah. Reading a rule book. Just angrily while the rest of the session ran.
So any rule that had been broken that we didn't mean that he couldn't,
because it was the character had spent ages prepping this situation that would work to kill him.
Right.
Like, it would be like every detail of the situation and everything you can.
He would pop up and say, oh, blah, 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 and they would answer him with no, blah, 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 and he'd be like, oh, and then he'd look back down and he'd pop up and be like, oh, this, and they're like,
thing,
no,
the
okay.
The thing that's the problem with that is there's, as I've noticed in the rule book, many, many times the DM gets to decide.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't matter if 100 rules were broken. If the DM's decided to do that, then that's what flies.
I think I ran this one, didn't
you
I?
You did. You did run that one. You did run that one.
I know why I didn't remember it. It's because it was the drinking session.
It was the
drinking session. And the DM drinks a lot.
But the worst part of that whole story is that in our Nick's normal session...
Yeah, it then bled into the real world.
It became an entire session.
Well, the anger
that
just...
Was the most
was that yeah, bad
we
it
were,
was.
Like, I hadn't been there for this one-off. I wasn't invited because I wasn't cool enough.
Because yeah, you didn't drink. So you didn't want to go.
I did back in those days.
Did you?
Yeah.
Liar.
That's a lie.
That was my final year of uni.
Roll for bluff, come on.
That was my final year of uni. I was still drinking back then.
Dear God.
Anyway, I wasn't invited, so I didn't realize any of it had happened. I just sat down for our regular session that week, and I didn't really do anything because the entirety of it was a dragon chasing down one of our other characters in an attempt to kill him.
The
and
best
I didn't
part
realize.
The movie after we watched. The best part was watching the movie afterwards.
Yeah. I didn't even realize until way later on what had happened behind the scenes to cause it. I just thought a dragon had showed up and that was the arc for that particular session.
Oh, yeah. But it was such a bullshit session because it just kept coming back to that. Like, it just, like, no matter what he did, and it just, like, it literally took up the whole session.
Wow.
Especially because he was separated from the rest of the party, so the rest of us didn't do very much.
Yeah, we were just chilling.
And that's what you shouldn't do when someone's playing it for their first time.
Have fun.
Yeah.
What a wonderful comeback to the beginning.
What a great start.
I remember I think the first thing I ever did was accidentally bite a wolf because I misspoke.
Oh, yes, you did.
Does that mean you get to turn back into a human? You're like, no, if I bite a werewolf. Takesies, backsies, bitch.
It was basically that I went to attack something. I had no idea what I was doing. And I panicked. And
I tried to say, I'll fight the dog.
I'll fight it. And I said, I'll bite it. And then, everyone laughed. I was like, okay, I fight it. And they're like, no, you can do that. I'm like, okay.
Do it. Fuck it. I hope everybody's enjoyed talking about role-playing games.
Once again,
I love Ben endings.
They're the best endings. I hope everybody enjoyed talking about role-playing games. Luke, this isn't exactly your area of expertise because you're relatively fresh to getting back into it.
I tried.
Yes. Yeah. I was about to say,
how am I experienced in this?
I'm sorry, Bradley. You have surpassed me.
Oh, my books.
You have.
You have special metal dice.
You play
one campaign.
I haven't played a game in 9 months outside of the one I ran.
Bradley,
that doesn't count.
You have started running a game and you're preparing to run another one. I'm sorry, but you've left Luke in the dust.
I'm sorry, you're the bigger dork now.
That's right.
I look at the game cabinet at the end of my bed and I'm like, what have I become?
You've become exactly what you feared, and it's a wonderful thing. Luke, if you'd like to take it away.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Round Robin Podcast, don't forget to subscribe to us on Castbox, iTunes, Spotify, and where all pen and paper themed podcasts can be found. Have a great afternoon, evening, and or night. Keep on rolling, bitches.